My guest, Bud Schulberg, wrote one of the most memorable scenes in film history.
You was my brother, Charlie. You should have looked out for me a little bit. You should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have to take them dives for the short end money.
Oh, I had some bets down for you. You saw some money.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. Let's face it.
On the Waterfront starred Marlon Brando as a boxer turned dock worker who risks his life to testify against the mobsters who control his union. Some critics interpreted the movie as the filmmaker's rationalization for informing. Schulberg and Waterfront's director, Ilya Kazan, both testified and named names to the House Un-American Activities Committee in the early 50s. Schulberg was a member of the Communist Party in the late 30s. Schulberg's other screenplays include The Harder They Fall and A Face in the Crowd, but he first became known for his novel, What Makes Sammy Run, about a movie producer who ruthlessly pushes his way to the top. A 50th anniversary edition has just been published. Schulberg started writing the story in college, but he grew up in the movie industry.
My father ran a big studio, Paramount Studio, and we went out there when I was about 4 years old. And so I was sort of raised on the back lot, and I was raised in story conferences. And so this was all around me all the time, till I went east to college.
When What Makes Sammy Run was published, what was the reaction in the film industry like? I mean, you had created a film producer in Sammy Glick who was egomaniacal, who would step on anybody to get ahead, who was totally lacking in ethics. This was obviously modeled on people who you knew in the film industry. So what was the reaction like in the industry?
It was not gentle, I would say. I came back, I hit out just the opposite of what we do now as we go around, as we publish our books. And when I came back from Mexico, where I was when the book came out, I walked in a restaurant, big restaurant like Romanoff's, which was the restaurant, or Chasen's, and the reaction was so, it was not quite violent, but it was so strong that I would say that many people just shunned me, turned their backs on me, and wouldn't talk to me. It was a very clear reaction to the resentment that I would write a book that would be in any way critical of Hollywood.
Did it make it hard for you as a young screenwriter to get work?
Well, I was prepared for that in advance because my father, when he read the manuscript, wrote to me. I wrote the book back at my college, Dartmouth, and my father, when he read the manuscript before the book came out, said, "Bud, if you publish this book, don't you realize?" I'm laughing, but he said, "You'll never work here again. You'll be finished." And he asked me, how will I live? I guess worried that he might have to support me. And I knew that there would be anger. And I knew that L.B. Mayer, who's the second M in MGM, I knew that Louis Mayer, who had been my father's partner once, would be furious at me. I was ready for all that.
I want to skip ahead with you to the 1950s. Now, you teamed up with Ilya Kazan to do On the Waterfront after you had both testified to the House Un-American Activities Committee. He said in his memoirs that he felt that there was a bond of understanding between the two of you because you'd both been through that. Did you feel that way?
Well, I felt our bond of understanding began when nobody in Hollywood would do On the Waterfront, when every major studio turned down On the Waterfront, which I think they should remember, and that Kazan's, when I was irritated about it, Kazan said to me, "Bud, I want to make this movie. If I have to take a handheld camera and go down on the docks myself, I'm going to make this movie." I think that's where the bond began. As for the testimony, although it is true that we were both what they call friendly witnesses before that committee. I really, I reject the theory that the ending of that picture or the fact that Terry Molloy testifies was related that closely to us. I spent about a year and a half on the waterfront. I really love the Ripple Longshoreman. I saw Father John Corridon go through hell, even with his superiors, and he was...
This is the priest that the Carl Malden character
That's right. Father Barry was really... Father Barry in the movie was patterned directly on this waterfront priest. And I saw Father John or Father Barry in the movie urging these men to get up and testify at the waterfront crime hearings. And I attended them every day. They went for about 5 or 6 weeks. And I spoke to Kazan about it, looking for the ending of our film. And I said, Gaj, I think we have found the ending for our film, because these men are saying, my God, if I get up and do that, you know what's going to happen. I'll be in the North River. That's what they call the Hudson River. I'll be gone. And that was the real source of the ending of that picture. It really was not the fact that we were saying, how can we get back at these people? I've had some disagreement with Kazan about that. He could say, and I'll make this very brief, that maybe that intensified his ability to direct that scene, or that it gave him some additional emotion, but I never thought of it in writing it, and I was the writer of it.
When you were called to the House Un-American Activities Committee, why did you decide to name names and to testify?
For one reason, because I was no longer under communist discipline, and because all of those people who they now say took the fifth, which is that I refused to testify on the grounds that it will incriminate me, I could not see how I could say that. I couldn't get my mouth around that would incriminate me.
Have you ever had regrets or second thoughts about testifying?
Not really, no. No, I haven't, because I don't see what the only alternative for me was to seem to be on the side of the communists. And if you ever saw V.J. Jerome, a commissar for cultural affairs, who tells you that you can't write the book unless it's checked over by this or that or the other, I felt the American people had a right to know that.
In spite of the evils perpetrated in the name of communism at the time that you were testifying, did you ever feel that you were participating in what was practically a witch hunt in America that was having a devastating effect on the lives of the people being pursued?
I thought two things. I thought it should have been done more carefully, but I thought that the people who were fighting here and calling it a witch hunt should have realized that if they are against a blacklist, that they should also involve themselves in the fight against a death list, and that while writers may be better than any of us, were being killed in the Soviet Union, they seem to have absolutely no interest in that.
I want to ask you, I know that you have, you've had a stutter on and off through your life, and I wonder how that's affected how you've dealt with Hollywood, and I mean that in the sense that I know so much about Hollywood is about, like, pitching the script and making the deal, and there's all this fast talk, I assume, that goes on, and how comfortable you felt with that.
I've never been crazy about the story conferences. I remember Bill Faulkner, William Faulkner worked out in Hollywood a good deal more than people realize. And one time they had one of these meetings that you're describing, and they're saying, now, the boy and girl have to meet cute and fast, and how can we show right away, instantly, that they are closely related? And they were throwing in all people, and a lot of the fast talkers were ad-libbing meet cute ideas. And Faulkner, who was rather withdrawn, extremely withdrawn, wrote a note, and he handed it to a friend of mine, and my friend told me about it right after the meeting. And the note said, what if they were brother and sister? So, to answer your question, I guess there are some people who can get up there and pitch, and there are others who can get up to bat without saying much and hit a home run.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
A 50th anniversary edition of Bud Schulberg's novel, What Makes Sammy Run, has just been published by Random House, along with a collection of his short stories called Love, Action, Laughter, and Other Sad Tales. This is Fresh Air.